would now like to turn to Mr. Wobish at the Senate Georgis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, the organizers of this conference, for the invitation. Dear participants, my paper is dedicated to the role of religion in fostering and all compromising good governance and social justice. Man needs to submit a will or cause far bigger than himself. The best of mankind has always been one who has trained himself to apply the brakes to his own mundane, private, primitive will and live for the will that girds or a bigger cause. I remember reading something like this in an interview with the late Premier, Mr. Malla Zenawi, had given in the spinning of his budding life when he committed to serve a cause than serve himself. There are people like Martha Mabraku, young Ethiopian girl, who at the tender age of 20 and one rich old prospect of a bright future that awaits a young pioneering female doctoral candidate of medicine and choose to die for a noble cause to ease centuries-old subjugation of her fellow compatriots. One of yet another compelling picture that arrests our imagination is the famous photograph of a shy young Palestinian girl hanging an AK-47 and avoiding the camera. That girl is Lila Khalid, one of the five brands from the 70s and early 80s who dedicated her young life to serve her unfortunate people. Indeed, a life dedicated to cause, to serve noble purpose is a worthy one. Even if this rich person was tirelessly taken care of and pursued his selfish private interests, suddenly realized what is he doing and gives up all his meaningless consumer mentality and changes horse in midstream. One such person is the famous director Tom Shadyk. He gave up all his wealth and kept what small resources needed to carry on. Time Warner, former CEO, Ted Turner is another. His other charitable endeavors aside, at one time he donated $1 billion to the United Nations. I believe the incumbent mayor of New York, Mikhail Bloomberg, takes $1 as his salary for the exhausting service he rendered running the financial heartbeat of the entire world. Man is cast in the image of God, and he cannot help but endeavor to live like his creator. Eventually, what keeps us going is pursuit of happiness. If $1 billion cannot buy you, gratifying sense of living bigger than oneself life is not worth living. It always makes me wonder. Man spent a fraction of the day feeding himself. For the most part, he is taking up the endless dialogue to make the best of himself and his fellow beings, and one this medium that comes handy is religion. You see, the biblical adage that reads, man is not sustained by bread alone, is a very deep one. Man is not consumed by nature. He is to live, but he lives for higher purpose. Take a flock of sheep. At any time of the day, they are either munching on grass or sleeping the day off. If they serve any noble purpose, it is ending up the bread of the highest hierarchy on the food chain. Whether we like it or not, respective of our declared persuasion, religion has always played a significant role in moderating our selfish interests, in some cases in approaching it altogether. Religion sees the idea of serving truth and justice without taking into account our own private interests. Religion sees the fundamental of loving and everlasting idea than submit to immediate short lived needs of the flesh. That is where the deeply religious John Brown and the communist Che Guevara cover it. The lives of both these firebrands are dedicated to and lost to a cause far bigger than them. That is why after more than a century and a half, we remember the martyrdom of John Brown with tears in our eyes. That is why we observed more than a minute of silence when Che Guevara remains were dug up by a team of Cuban forensic experts and bits and pieces of his remains began to surface. It is simply because they died for the common good of the human race, serving humanity by dedicating their lives to the undying values of truth and justice. That is why we mourn them centuries later after they were martyred. That is a basic human value. That is true all times in all places. That is a driving force behind all international covenants of human rights and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. These values are colorblind, lineage, and sex-specific. They are true in almost all societies and religions. So much so that we suffer the injustice inflicted on defenseless Indian medical student riding a bus home by rowdy gangs of outlaws and subsequent indifference of authorities. It all comes down to what Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said. Injustice anywhere is a threat to injustice everywhere. The dominion of religion. A few days ago, Al Jazeera English Richard Dawkins, the Kenyan-born professor of the humanities at the prestigious Oxford University. Topics for discussion is there God? Does religion serve humanity or it is doing a happy life? His answer eventually reminded me of a holy comedy entitled Definitely Maybe. The moderator was this fresh and indicted into the ranks of Al Jazeera's young blood, whom we used to know as a guest speaker on culture quoted religious discourse. He was relishing the topic very much for the wrong reason, one might argue. He quoted with undisguised pleasure for the book of Professor. The Old Testament, God is fratricidal, vengeful, phobic, megalomaniac, blah blah. The unabashed name calling seems to be the only thing that marks out the professor from other agnostics and so-called atheists. The only thing that makes him stand out in his arrogance and get to stand up to the rest of the human race. All the time I was wondering, but the professor seemed to be dead certain about the existence of God and that he hates him and is very much angry with him. Otherwise, how could a man be so much angry with and disappointed in a void, not to mention making a living out of it? By his own account, he spends most of his time worrying himself, sick about God and religion. He writes books, gives seminars, organizes a band of zero agnostics, hardly dedicated his energy, time, and mental facilities to God. He keeps God ever alive. He is a roundabout way of man of God. So are all these armies of so-called agnostics who couldn't do without the idea of God. I mention Professor Dawkins just because he is an ideal and the most popular contemporary representative of this group of people who say they do not believe in God or religion, yet spend most of their time speaking, reading, researching, writing, and dedicating their precious lives to keep the idea of God and religion ever fresh and alive in our minds. In a way, they are serving God as much as the faithful do, if not more. In the most disturbing passage of the Karamazov brothers, old Fyodor Pavlovich holds off the philosophical discourse with his voice, and the lackey, Smelnikov, topic of discussion, just like the one hosted by Al Jazeera English. Is there God? What purpose does religion serve? The atheist even says, absolutely no. But read between the lines, I definitely, maybe. Alexei says, yes. And the older man who tends to argue with the older son wants to know. Most probably it is Vanya who is telling the truth. But if there is no God, who is playing this joke on us? Ivan says, maybe it is devil. If indeed there is devil, there is God. In another passage, the oldest of Karamazov brothers, Dmitri, on his part, takes up the issue truth with another atheist who believes in social justice. Mita wasn't persuaded. He argued strongly that without God, man would double the price of bread, fills the poor of his last dinner, and ends up killing his brothers for his money. Without being slightly terrible in his conscience, in a way, he says, social justice without the idea of God is unimaginable. Social justice and good governance. Good governance is much talked about. Every government failed to deliver it. Good governance is wider than the rule of law, democracy, and of course much looser, and its emphasis might be on procedural rights than substantive ones. That is basically what makes it applicable as much as to break hereditary communist dictatorship of North Korea as the French Republic. Speaking for social justice and against the dictates of neoliberalism, the celebrated Chinese dissenter and author has this to say on the subject. It could be argued that the promise of democracy, the search of good governance, and the professionalization of economic activism are an integral part of the democratizing force of neoliberalism. From this perspective, the work of Southern Andean Church could very well be seen as encouraging compliance with rolling out of neoliberalism. That may partly account for the lack of any definite, precise meaning rendered to the phrase. The concept tries to tie up governance with which is the antithesis of choice with justice. To govern is to reign in chaos and disorder. It implies subjugation. It connotes bending the unruly or so understood will and conduct of individual and group. But it is not or shouldn't be exploited to help see injustice and violence of group of individual rights. Hence, the need to conduct it with a fair measure of goodness. Good governance implies executing the laws with their primary spirit. After all, it is age old teaching of legal scholars to command to read the law with its spirit. Question is, whence does this spirit come from? Before a law is given, it is born in the minds of people. In most instances, they are not in a driven and prompted by the need of self and noble purpose. That is why the preambles of almost all laws issued under all circumstances are such a delight to read. We may contend that this spirit of laws emanates from the so-called secular ethical philosophies of ancient Greece or those of Renaissance. Question is, whence did those secular ethical philosophers have the idea? Aren't these ideas in large measure attributed to the gods of Mount Olympus or the god of Abraham. Let us not forget that the Greek view of hopes as regard to the human life is its state of nature having a propensity to be. Solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, short, and that is a war all against all. Is it without some again of truth, whatever authority we choose to ascribe to, we cannot deny the fact that we are always striving to be our better selves, and that we are born of nurture by the nature to an expensive knowledge of the good and the evil. Because of time, coming to the conclusion. Whether we are practicing religious people or otherwise, we cannot deny the fact that our upbringing is influenced by fundamental values, supposed by religion. These values among others promote good governance and social justice. What is more, this is a characteristic feature of most religions, that it makes one wonder if the primary source of religion is one and the same aspect being told in different style, particularly as regard the virtues of good governance and social justice. Even proponents of the secular dimension of the concept cannot deny the fact that as newcomers on the scene and not concept, and those values had their origin in a religion environment. The reason they are conducive to religious motive is they are fundamentally associated with procedural rights and the general common understanding we all share. These understandings are so common and basic that even a child understands what he is denied a hearing. He knows what is fair and just. The simplicity of concepts is what keeps them common to all humanity and away from technicality ridden dominance of the official justice, economics, political system of administration. That is why they are most sought after when society is in a state of crisis, like the economic meltdown in Europe and the role of churches are playing, literally taking the place of government and sustaining the society. It's not because they are ordered by a court or duty bound by law. It's emanated from values and faith we have developed. Thus, the first thing we should underline is social justice and good governance as the spirit of love and not so much the letter of the law. Secondly, more than any other organized communities of people, religion has played most significant role in sustaining, propagating, promoting the said values. And thus, they are the most conducive forms in some instance to serve the purpose. The concepts are so much intertwined with humanity that they are equally true to all societies. The faithful and otherwise. No matter how strongly they deny it, even the unbelievers cannot deny the role of religion in keeping in actively promoting the ideas, and that is one way or another our upbringing religious environment has helped all of us to believe in the values. Having said that, one would be learning himself if he ignores the other face of the coin. As much as religion is serving the noble purpose mentioned above, it is equally the breeding ground social justice, and bad governance. Ethiopia is lauded as the best example of religious tolerant society. The very tolerant suggestion that fact that under normal circumstances, a religious society is intolerant. I believe that is one of the reasons that prominent scholar of Ethiopian Orthodox Church to write a thought-provoking book on the subject. The book is entitled, Is There a Religious Tolerance in Ethiopia? And goes on the question and document numerous instances proving the contrary. Thus, it all depends on how we entertain the role of religion. We can capitalize on it to build a just society by improving, develop religious values of social justice and good governance into the mainstream or suffer the bad consequences.